Thank you. I want to thank Dean Cobley for inviting me to speak, and I want to thank Nancy, soon to be Dr. Jacobs, for the important role she's played in getting me here. And most of all, I want to thank you for coming to hear about Francis Williams. How many of you are familiar at all with Francis Williams? Okay. That makes my life easier. I can make things up then. During my research in the late 1980s and early 1990s for editions of the works of Olaudah Equiano and other early transatlantic writers of African descent, I repeatedly found references to Francis Williams, a free black in Jamaica who wrote poetry in Latin during the 18th century. In fact, at least into the early 19th century, Francis Williams was arguably better known than Equiano as a writer and a personality. But who was Francis Williams? And why did he matter so much to British, American, French, and West Indian commentators on the institution of slavery? Almost everything publicly known about Williams is found in the account of him in Edward Long's three-volume History of Jamaica, published in London in 1774. Long had spent a dozen years living in Jamaica, where he had been a judge. In 1774, he was an absentee plantation owner living in England. Unfortunately, as Henri Gregoire, an early 19th century commentator, correctly notes in his own description of Francis Williams, Edward Long, quotes, cannot be suspected of being too partial to Negroes. His prejudice against them is manifest even in the words of praise that truth forced him to utter, close quotes. In Long's case, however, prejudice is an understatement. Long has recently been accurately described as an apologist for the slave system and what we would now call a virulent racist. In addition to being biased, Long's account of Williams is frequently misinformed, perhaps willfully so. As Gregoire cautions, Long's portrait of Williams may be true, but we must recollect that it was not executed by a friendly hand. Long claims to be impartial in his account of Williams, and he assumes that his English audience was already somewhat familiar with Williams. I'm going to quote Long's account of Williams here for a little bit. Long says, I have forborne till now to introduce upon the stage a personage who made a conspicuous figure in this island, that is Jamaica, and even attracted the notice of many in England. With the impartiality that becomes me, I shall endeavor to do him justice, and shall leave it to the reader's opinion whether what they shall discover of his genius and intellect will be sufficient to overthrow the arguments I have before alleged to prove the inferiority of the Negroes to the race of white men. It will be by this time discovered that I allude to Francis Williams, a native of this island and son to John and Dorothy Williams, free Negroes. Francis was the youngest of three sons, and being a boy of unusual lively parts, was pitched upon to be the subject of an experiment, which it is said the Duke of Montague was curious to make, in order to discover whether by proper cultivation and a regular course of tuition at school and the university, a Negro might not be found as capable of literature as a white person, close quotes. According to Long, while in England, Williams attended Cambridge University after having completed a regular discipline of classic instruction at a grammar school. At Cambridge, Long tells us, Williams studied under the ablest preceptors and made some progress in the mathematics. When Williams returned to Jamaica, according to Long again, he reportedly set up a school in Spanish Town, where he continued for several years, and he taught reading, writing, Latin, and the elements of the mathematics. Long's claim of impartiality, however, is exploded by his own summary judgment of Williams. Long says, in regard to the general character of the man, he was haughty, opinionated, looked down with sovereign contempt on his fellow blacks, entertained the highest opinion of his own knowledge, treated his parents with much disdain, and behaved towards his children and his slaves with a severity bordering upon cruelty. He He was fond of having great deference paid to him and exacted it in the utmost degree from the Negroes about him. He affected a singularity of dress and particularly grave cast of countenance to impress an idea of his wisdom and learning. And to second this view, he wore in common a huge wig, which made a very venerable figure.